Welcome to Startup Vietnam, a podcast that interviews foreigners who run a business here in Vietnam. I'm your host, Michael Claro. Today, we're talking to Don Viteri, brand ambassador for Rooster Beers. Rooster Beers creates a range of easy drinking craft beers that appeal to the Vietnamese market. Today, we'll talk to Don about his experiences moving to Vietnam and getting involved in the craft beer scene, some important lessons he's learned when doing business in Vietnam, and some important milestones that Rooster Beers has reached as a company. This podcast is brought to you by Chiquindo. Chiquindo is the leading market entry company in Southeast Asia, providing foreign businesses with a wide range of solutions for entering the market of 8 different countries in Asia. To find out more about Chiquindo, visit chiquindo.com. I am here with Don Viteri, who is brand ambassador for Rooster Beers. Don, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, man. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Can you tell me a little bit about your background? When did you first come here to Vietnam?
Yeah, this November is 5 years. So I came out here right at the end of 2016. My buddy invited me to come out here. I was a chef back home in Chicago. He ate at a lot of places that I was doing consulting, advising work for. And then he moved out here. And then a couple years later, he just called me one day, which we're 12 hours ahead of Chicago out here in Vietnam. So when he called me at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, it was 1 a.m. out here. I didn't realize that. And he's like, come on, man, come on out here to Vietnam. Let me move you out here and you cook all this food for everyone. And I was like, I don't know, man. I've never left the country. I've never left America. So Vietnam is the first country I've ever been to. And he said, just give me 6 months. I'll pay for your plane ticket. You come out here, give me 6 months of your time. If you don't like it, you can go back home. And I was just like, yeah, man, screw it. Why not? You know, what am I going to be, 50 years old, sitting back on a recliner going like, oh, what could have been if I went to Vietnam? So I think everyone should at least get out of their comfort zone at least once, you know, and do something. And I mean, this is one of the best decisions I've ever made, you know, career-wise, personal life-wise, all of that. You know, I love it out here. It's great. But yeah, now it's been 5 years, going on 5 years now in Vietnam. I've been with Rooster the whole time, working with them. I've worked my way from the bottom up. I started at the bottom of the totem pole with the company. I was doing service tech work. I was cleaning beer lines, delivering kegs around town. Let me tell you, driving a bike in Vietnam is one thing. Driving around Vietnam with a whole bunch of kegs on the back of the bike is another. And then I slowly started working my way up to doing sales. Because at the same time, while I'm doing the work with Rooster, I was working with Mike's wife at her bar, which was the bar I got invited to come out and help with. So I'm doing the bar work. I'm doing Rooster. They hear me how I'm selling Rooster in the bar to people. And they're like, hey, do you want to do this to restaurants? Do you want to go out and sell Rooster to restaurants? I said, yeah, why not? What's the worst that's going to happen? You know, I keep on cleaning beer lines. And then that proceeded even further. So now, you know, I'm doing sales, cleaning beer lines. I'm delivering beer. I'm doing events. I'm meeting people. I'm starting to become this like miniature representative for Rooster, you know? And now, you know, we fast forward. I have cardboard cutouts of myself standing outside of restaurants that say, you know, have you tried our craft beer yet? You know, people see me. I was at Starbucks, you know, pre-COVID, the good old days. I was at Starbucks and the one girl behind the counter, she's like, I go there a lot, so she knew my name. She's like, Don Oi, I not know you so famous. And I was like, what are you talking about? She said, I see your picture in Dalat. And I was like, oh, yeah, you know. So it's been a wild, crazy ride, and I love it. I'm glad I never said no to coming out to Vietnam.
But you guys actually have a very interesting story in terms of how Rooster started in your own little backyard brewery. Can you talk about that for a little bit, that story?
Yeah, definitely. So Rooster Beers, like I said, started in 2015 when we started selling on the market. But 2014, Mike and his wife were living in Cunha, Gunza, however you want to pronounce it. Monkey Island, for those of you that know that as well. You got to go through District 7 that goes through Long An, and then you get to the ferry, you cross the river, and then you're on the island, you know? So it was a trek to get out there, man. You know, you leave at like 7 o'clock in the morning, get out there, and, you know, but when you do go out there, you usually spend the day, you know, you'll spend the night. So he had a house out there with his wife. They were going to do the whole farming thing. And then he got into brewing, you know, and we started out really small and then started making our own equipment, started getting things made locally, sort of like we're talking about sourcing things. Like, he's got his guy that we still use. And it kind of just grew from there. And then 2016, when I came in, we were only in 24 bars throughout all of Vietnam. That included Hanoi. So coming in, and we only had four beers. Crazy. We had four beers, and three of those are still around until today. But, you know, starting in Cô Nhã, out so small, out in the countryside, and then buying the neighbor's land so we could, this guy had a garage full of like sports cars, right? It was really weird. And then he got rid of them. We bought his land. We fixed the garage he had in there, and then the brewery expanded even more. And then a few years ago, we finally moved into a huge facility, about, 1,500 square meters, big warehouse for Rooster Beers, you know? And that was crazy. We're like, you know, it was intense. But yeah, so Rooster started out then very small. We started working closely with Mark and Tim from Quan Udu Beer Craft. They had one of the biggest chains back then, you know, and they still do have a big, quite big chain. And working with them led into more opportunities, which found us an investor, Brooke Taylor from Vina Capital. He's a great dude. He's awesome. And we've just been growing ever since, you know, and it's a wild, fun ride. I love it.
Can you talk a little bit more about the marketing choices you've made? So you said there, you guys put a rooster on your beer, and then you changed the name to Be a Guy, which is, you know, literally beer of chicken, right? Yeah. And these things, like I say, raise curiosity in the local customer and maybe facilitate more interest. What is your thinking there with your marketing?
We work with Rice Creative for our rebranding, right? So our old name was Fat Rooster Ales, which was great. Cool. And there's still a lot of people that remember us from that back then. But the thing is, some of my Vietnamese friends that still know us from back then, well, I really like that name. I'm like, well, you're accustomed already to the Western style of things. So you understand that and you like that and you grasp it. But to the locals, the ones that have never had an IPA and don't even know what that stands for, India Pale Ale, by the way, if anyone didn't know that, they don't know it and they can't grasp that. They see that and they're like, I don't want it. Give me a tiger. Give me a blah, blah, blah. All right. So sitting down with Rice Creative, they're like, all right, let's cut the fat out of Fat Rooster. We're like, all right. And then we were just like, what about Rooster Beers? Be a guy. Be a guy chung would be beer of rooster, you know, rooster beers, but be a guy chung isn't marketable. You know, be a guy, on the other hand, it is. I go to the gas station and I got the be a guy sticker on my bike, which be a guy is literally the crow of the rooster, you know, cock-a-doodle-doo for those in the Western world. And when I go to the gas station, the guy reads it and then it starts ricocheting off everybody in there, you know, and it's catchy. They get it. They're like, and then they're like, what is Be a Guy? What is chicken beer? You know? And I get that all the time, chicken beer. And I'm like, yeah. And that, to me, I think that's one of the coolest things in one of our marketings is calling it Be a Guy, is that people, then we grab their attention. And that's always the hardest thing, is to get somebody's attention to the product. You know, mm-hmm. It doesn't always have to look cool in order to get attention. It can have a word, a saying like this that gets people attention, that they're like, I'm going to give this a try because be a guy, this sounds ridiculous, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that was one reason why we decided to go with Viaga as well as a dual language. Mm-hmm. So then we move on from the name then to the products that we're making, right? Our Rooster Blonde, which used to be called Saigon Blonde, is our number one selling beer. We make way, way too much of that, you know? And it was really hard for us to let go of Saigon Blonde, you know, because that was the proud and joy of Rooster. You know, that was the first beer that we ever made. It's our own recipe, all of that, you know? And there's nothing really like it out on the market at all. And it hurt us a little bit, but now we're seeing it. We see these, what they had in mind. So the blonde is yellow, the IPA is green, and the pale ale is red. And we wanted to make it to where a customer comes into the bar, they sit down, and whether they can read English or not, they could go by the color, and maybe the color will be able to tell you something of what's going on. The color schemes and just, I want that color, I want that color. That works out for a local demographic as well when they don't know what's going on. You know, you start getting all these crazy names, you're gonna scare them away, especially if they don't know anything about craft beer, which a lot of people in Vietnam say that Rooster Beers is like the gateway drug for craft beer, which I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll take that. I'll take it no matter what. You know, any PR is good PR, right? So when people say that, I like it, you know, that's cool. I'll take that, you know, because then in my mind, if we're going to be the first craft beer that you taste, you're going to remember that for the rest of your life. You know, just like I still remember my first craft beer that I ever had. So that's pretty cool. And then, you know, putting a rooster on as our main logo, That one, it's, you see roosters and chickens everywhere. You see a rooster everywhere when we could drive around, you know. And every day, I mean, across the river, there's a pagoda. I hear a rooster every morning at like 5 o'clock in the morning. It's everywhere. So it's a very iconic image to this part of the world, actually, too. You know, you think about it. And also in France as well. I didn't know that. A lot of French people drink our beer. I go to find out a rooster is like their national animal. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, okay. All right. That makes sense now. But we picked that because the demographic can kind of relate to it in the sense of like, oh, cool. I know what that is, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's not foreign to them, I guess you would say. And then coming up with the color schemes, we wanted to be bright and we wanted to be, you know, attention grabbing. And I think that's, you know, without digressing into everything else, I mean, that's really what it came down to in the marketing with Rooster. And then with Wildside, we used Purple Asia, Matt Millard and his team. And Purple Asia, they were great as well. We sat down for a few rounds, and then after a few rounds, we're like, all right, we want that style, you know? And we wanted something that was a lot more unisex in a way when it came to design work, something that everyone can enjoy. Cause I feel like there's a misconception with hard seltzers and hard sodas that it's more feminine, you know, which if it is, okay, cool, but not for us, you know, everyone should be able to enjoy this. And, who doesn't like animals, you know, people love animals. So yeah. And again, the color scheme with that as well too, you know, you get that color, you keep to that color. Everyone will always remember that green can is that lemongrass soda, and that orange one is the spicy ginger, so on and so forth.
Don, can you tell us a little bit about your important goals or milestones that you've reached with Rooster Beer?
Yeah, man. When we finally got an official office, you know, we were like, yeah, we finally made it. Super excited, you know, and now we need a bigger office due to staffing issues. But I'm kidding. Another big milestone for us was getting Rooster Beer cans. That was awesome. That was a lot of work went into that. You know, we do printed cans. We don't do the ones with the labels or anything. And that was so much fun finally getting those developed and getting them out to the masses, you know, and seeing our product at the big chain convenience stores, the CVS stores like 7-Eleven, Circle K, S-Smart, Fine Line, and we're in talks with GS25. So after lockdown, hopefully that goes through. But it was special to us because getting, it was special to us because when I first moved out here, we weren't that big. And now you see our products at these main locations, these big chains. And it's like, yeah, man, we're doing something, you know, we're making it a little bit, you know, we still got a long way to go. Don't get me wrong. We still got a long way to go, but it's great seeing that. Awesome. Yeah.
Are you guys in the Vietnamese equivalent of like maybe a Walmart or like, I don't know, what's the other one, Costco or something?
Yeah, we're working on that. We're hopefully get an email back from Mega Market sometime soon. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a little bit hard. I thought it was easy, like, hey, just take our product, but it's a little bit more challenging than that, right? So mm-hmm. we are in talks with some of the bigger players, Mega Market, Vinmart, so on and so forth, to get the products in there.
Can we maybe just, you know, on a closing note, you want to give some advice to a foreigner considering coming to Vietnam and starting a business, whether in F&B or some other industry, what advice would you give to them?
Do it, you know, do it. This country, this country in particular is hungry, especially for the next big thing. There's so much room still at the ground floor of this entrepreneurial building. You know, there's room for everyone. Don't be scared. Take the leap of faith. You know, I've met kids out here. I call them kids, but they're like 10 years younger than me. That are like 22, 21 that are coming out here to start a business. And I'm like, man, I wish I would have done that when I was younger, you know? So my advice is do your due diligence. Make sure you got everything that you need. Do your research on Vietnam. Come out here a couple of times if you need to. Research the market on what you want to do, and then do it. You know, it's not that hard to find a business partner in Vietnam that's willing to work with you. You know, there's a lot of people out here that want to start a business, but maybe don't have that experience like somebody else might. And then you can bring that to the table.
I've been speaking with Don Viteri, brand ambassador of Rooster Beers. Don, thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
I've been speaking with Don Viteri, brand ambassador for Rooster Beers. Rooster Beers creates a range of easy drinking craft beers that appeal to the Vietnamese market. And you can find out more about Rooster Beers by going to roosterbeers.com. That's R-O-O-S-T-E-R-B-E-E-R-S. Next, we're going to go over to Stefan Rosner from RSP International for this week's news brief.
Thank you, Michael. And welcome to our first ever podcast section of Vietnam at a Glance by RSP International, where we'll share some recent news about Vietnam's economy, business, and startup scene. So let's start with Vietnam's economy in general news. No surprise, the current force COVID wave and the strict lockdown is a key story right now in Vietnam. With increasing daily numbers, the full lockdown was seen to be required, while healthcare workers worked tirelessly to help as many patients as possible. Unfortunately, the strict lockdown has a severe impact on businesses and people not being able to earn money. And these implications are now shown on the economy as well. During the first half of August, Vietnam experienced a trade deficit of $1.4 billion. This is more than a third of the whole deficit of the country for 2021 so far. The main reason is a continuous decrease of export, as factories, especially in the south, are closed due to COVID. Factories try to stay open by having employees stay on site for the whole time, but this is not possible for every single factory. To highlight the wide implications, it seems that U.S. company Abercrombie's share price tumbled due to missing sales expectations and the lockdown of the factories in Vietnam. As Vietnam is the second largest fashion exporter in the world, the supply for more international brands will be impacted in the long term. With the current development of local businesses and reduced export, the recent downgrade of Vietnam's GDP target of 4.5% for 2021 might need to be reduced even further. The data for quarter three, to be published in October, will most likely be a very sobering reading. With all the issues for local businesses in these difficult times, there are still some very interesting developments going on over the last few weeks. Maybe the most intriguing stories all come from the Wind Groups, or to be more precise, Windfast. After the announcement of entering the US and European markets with their cars, and the rather impressive move of getting former Opel boss Michael Loescheller as new head of Windfast, the latest developments are pointing to a very clear and decisive strategy of Windfast. Wind Group recently established WinS to research and manufacture batteries and accumulator. And now they're negotiating with Israeli startup StoreDot to purchase new battery charging technology. At the recent launch of new technology of WinEye that includes driver monitoring systems and a new autopilot, and it seems that Windfast should be taking seriously in the new market entering next year. Cars made in Vietnam. This could become a serious theme from next year on. But other Vietnamese companies also managed to expand their business during these challenging times. For instance, Vietnamese steel company VAS Group has expanded its business to Japan by delivering the first batch of cold steel to the country. Masan has also received additional funding from a Korean investor, helping to increase their footprint in Vietnam after taking over all Vinmart and Vinmart Plus stores. Hopefully, we can see more of these news over the next few months. One sector that seems not to be impacted at all by the current COVID wave are technology startups, and not just in Vietnam. In a recent report, it is predicted that the online economy in Southeast Asia will triple by 2025 to $300 billion. Of course, this is mainly due to habit changes to do more shopping, teaching, and paying online. In Vietnam, this can be seen by the numbers of high-profile funding received over the last few weeks. This includes VN Life, parent company of payment service VN Pay, receiving $250 million funding from US investors. E-commerce platform Loship received $13 million during their latest seeding round, helping them to increase their presence in their target markets in Vietnam. PropTech startup Reva received just over $10 million from Mekong Capital, profiting from the increasing trend of online brokerage. This indicates the increased interest in PropTech in Vietnam. The EduTech sector is also receiving more funding as the current lockdown shows the potential of online teaching. As a result, startups like Voi Hoc, Manabi, or Marathon received investment in seven-digit figures. With the potential of this large market, foreign startups like Virtual Internship have also established a presence in Vietnam. So it seems the startup scene in Vietnam remains a hotspot in Southeast Asia and receives increased interest from global investors. It helps, of course, when companies like VSC Capital offer support to a variety of startups, like the recent investment of $50,000 for 8 startups, or also accelerators like Visa. I'm sure we will hear more about local startups as the e-commerce, fintech, edutech, and proptech gets more traction as customers are changing their habit as part of the current limitation and will most likely stay with us even after restrictions are removed. And that's all from this week's Vietnam at a Glance. We will be back at the next podcast. And now back to you, Michael.
Thank you very much, Stefan, for that detailed look at recent news in Vietnam. If you'd like to hear more from Stefan, you can go to RSP International's website. That URL is rsp-intl.com. rsp-intl.com. And if you're a foreigner who runs a business here in Vietnam and you'd like to be on the podcast, you can reach out to me at michael.claro@chiquindo.com. That's M-I-C-H. AEL.CLARO@CEKIND.com.